Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to my podcast. So today, I've been really thinking all morning and the last couple days about orgasms and about sex and about how women hide from men and how we kind of like protect ourselves in this shield of fake realities. And I think one of those realities, one of those ways that we do that is we fake orgasms a lot. And I know for myself, like all of my past partners, once I hit like 18, I had one partner when I was 18, 16, 17, 18, I had a boyfriend who would get really upset at me, that I wasn't orgasming. And so after that, I started faking all my orgasms. And what I found was that it made it easier to be in relationships with bad men, men that weren't good for me, men that weren't men that weren't for me. It made it easier because they weren't seeing that truth. Like, they're not seeing that I don't feel safe. They're not seeing that, you know, I'm not orgasming. They're not seeing that lack of connection between us. And that lack of connection to myself. So if they're not seeing that, then I don't have to face it. It's not brought up in the relationship. And so for me, once I got out of that relationship, I started faking orgasms in every relationship and every time I had sex after the point I was 18. And I stopped having sex when I was 21. And so in those few years, I ended up faking orgasms all the time in my relationships, with my boyfriends. And what I found was I was then able to hide from myself even more because those truths, like I said, weren't being addressed. It wasn't being brought up. And then I could create this reality that was easier for myself to live in, with me not really having to identify, like, I don't feel safe here. I don't feel connected to my body here. I'm performing. I don't feel good. I don't feel in alignment with God. I don't feel in alignment with myself. But because they think I am and they think everything's totally fine, then it's not brought up. I don't have to really fully deal with it. And it's a way that I could hide from myself. And when I went celibate, I decided that I no longer wanted to hide from myself in any way and with anything and with any man. I wanted to be super vulnerable and raw and open. And one of the ways that I started doing that was getting really honest with myself about where I was at sexually. And I didn't even understand what connection to myself looked like sexually. And I know that I still don't. I know that that will be something that I cultivate. Well, I do know. So I know what it looks like, but I haven't fully gotten to the other side of it. And I know that that will be something that I do when I have a partner. And but for myself, what I had to get, I got really honest with myself about, like, okay, when I don't feel connected with other people. Okay, fine. But now I'm celibate. So how do I feel now? Do I feel connected to myself truly when I'm like self-pleasuring? Do I? And I didn't, you know, I didn't feel that true innate connection to myself. And I was like, would I want somebody else to touch me like this? Would I want a sexual experience to go like this? Would I want it to be kind of unconscious and I'm just kind of like there and then not there, and I'm kind of like lost away in my mind. I'm not really feeling. I don't feel super connected. I don't watch porn, but maybe like you're watching porn, which so that's like you're not being present, and you're ingesting and consuming all of these really unhealthy energies. And like, would I want that? Is that what I want my sexual experiences to look like? And I realized I didn't. And what that then looked like was a lot of discomfort for myself. I then was like, okay, I don't want to have sexual experiences with myself or with anybody else that are not real, that aren't authentic, that aren't real. I don't want to have that. And so I have to start with me. And so when I started with myself and I started, you know, creating conscious, like being conscious with being aware and present, not even conscious, but present, having present sexual experiences with myself where I'm really tuned into my body. I had the best sexual experiences I've ever had, but I also had, I had to sit with the fact of where I was truly at and feeling all of the pain and the discomfort and just the really uncomfortable feelings that were coming up and still come up and I know will come up when I have a partner. And for me, I realized, you know, when if we choose to not hide any longer, we inevitably have to choose men who can meet us in our truth. And for me, that was it's such a truth. Like if we don't want to hide anymore, we have to choose men who are grounded in truth. And so it requires you to step into your power if you decide, I no longer want to hide. And it requires you to step forward into your life. And for me, I decided, you know, I want to be, and one of the reasons that we hide, I think, as women as a collective is because we're aware that men as a collective cannot hold space for us. And it's not safe for us with the majority of men to be in our full expression. You know, they're not even worthy of it. And we don't feel innately in our bodies, we don't feel comfortable fully opening up to men. And so what we do then is then we hide and we create these ways that we can not face ourselves and not face our choices and what we're doing. And I think for me, when I decided, you know, I no longer want to do that. I know what I want. I know what I can have if I just choose it. And for me, part of choosing it is rejecting everything else that isn't that. And so for me, I think rejecting any men and removing and getting away from me any men who were and any connections and any past versions of myself that were in alignment with a version of me that could hide and in alignment with a version of me that's not in my power, I had to get away from and end and fully step away from so that I could get into relation with a man who needs me in my power and who I'm comfortable standing in my power with. And I feel like when on the other side of standing in your truth and not hiding is so much, I mean, I have not experienced it, but I know that there's so much joy and so much bliss and so much love. But I also know that the middle in between part is the part that will be really, really beautiful and really like takes a lot of courage to step into and to fully be present with. Because I know for myself, if I don't pretend, like if I have a partner that I feel really safe with and I feel like, okay, you can see me, like I feel like I'm choosing to be raw with you because I want to get to the other side, but we have to go through this first. All of these uncomfortable things are going to come up. All of these painful things might come up. All of these old, it's really a purging. That's really what it is. And I know that purging is going to happen between me and my partner before we get to the other side. But it's not to say that part isn't beautiful in itself, because I think that part, that purging is everything. But for me, it's definitely scary. Like if I'm not hiding, if I'm not faking an orgasm and you then are seeing my authentic where I really am, then I have to see it too. I have to be honest with myself. I have to be honest with myself that like, I'm not fully in my body here. I have to be honest with myself that like, I don't really know how to truly be grounded in presence and be authentic sexually. I have to be honest with that because I'm not creating any longer a false reality. I'm not any longer hiding and pretending and doing all these things that were trauma responses, but also like coping mechanisms, I think, as women as a whole that we've accumulated and done to shield us from men. You know, we innately know that most men we can't trust, but then what we do is then we see that and then we settle and we think that like, okay, because we, you know, so many men are like this, then that's all there is, instead of saying like, okay, so many men are like this, but I'm rejecting that and I don't need to live in that and I'm not accepting any men who are in alignment with that. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna get really grounded in my truth, because getting honest with yourself that like, yeah, they're not grounded in their truth, but you're not either, you know? And if I'm grounded in my truth and I fiercely stay in it, there's no option than a man who's, there's no other option than a man who's grounded in his truth to be with you, because you're not going to accept anything less than that. And also you become pretty magnetic, I believe. But so I think that it's a very, when we choose not to hide anymore, you have to get really honest with yourself. And I think that for me, I'll be excited to, once I do have like sexual experiences with my future partner and like experience all of that, I'm excited to like talk about it and stuff, because I feel like it will definitely be big for me. Like, I know that that is something that is coming for me and very much meant for me. But I think that idea, this desire and the choice to no longer hide from yourself, it requires us to have these uncomfortable feelings. And I saw with myself how much I would hide from awkwardness. And I think that too, just not even sexually, but like in relation to men, a lot of times I think I've hid from awkwardness. Like, I didn't want things, and it's a way that you can control. And I think for me, I would feel out of control a lot of times and scared. And so I would try to control these things. But what I was really doing was furthering my attachments to these traumatic experiences and not choosing myself, because when I'm choosing myself, I don't need to control, because I'm in safe connections, because I'm choosing myself. And so when I'm choosing me, then I'm choosing authentic and safe connections. And when I'm not choosing me, I'm choosing connections that are detrimental to my health and to my well-being. And then all those, you know, those trauma responses come up, and those things you feel like you have to hide, and they're valid in those situations. But the issue is that when we choose those situations over and over, we reinforce that these ways that we feel we have to hide or these trauma responses have to come up. We think like, oh yeah, I'm in these situations, so this makes sense, I have to do it. And you affirm this idea that like, yeah, this is just what I have to do it, instead of understanding that you only have to do it because you're putting yourself in detrimental situations, versus if you chose yourself and you chose relationships that were healthy and healing, you would no longer need to act in these ways, in these trauma responses, in these unregulated ways that harm your nervous system. And you could create new ways of relating to others and relating to yourself in healthy and loving and grounded ways. And if you choose that, you no longer have to stay in this dysregulated state of, you know, hiding and trauma responses and whatever. And I feel like for me, I noticed so much, you know, how I just ran from these awkward things. Like, one of the things I would do, you know, it makes me nervous to go somewhere that I haven't gone. with a man, like to go to like a park I haven't gone to or something. Because for me, I'm like, oh my gosh, well, if it's weird or like maybe something happens, I haven't scoped it out yet. Maybe it's like an awkward thing. Maybe it looks weird. And I've like, maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's just like, I want to know what the park looks like, how it feels. I want to have gone there before and then bring someone there. Like, I don't want to just go to a park. And for me though, that's a lower version of myself that's like scared. So I'm like, and what I'm really doing is avoiding uncomfortable situations. And more even at the root of that is like, honestly, maybe not at the root of that, but what I'm doing is just, I'm hiding from trying to control myself out of uncomfortable emotions and awkward emotions. But if I can sit, the reality is I can sit with those. And I think that to me was such a beautiful thing that I realized as things were coming up with a man that I was talking to a few weeks ago, that I'm still talking to, but I was realizing as I was engaging with him that when I would respond in certain ways, the root of that was I'm trying to hide from these uncomfortable emotions. And then I was like, okay, but what if they came up? What if those uncomfortable emotions came up that are like the truth? You know what I mean? What if those things came up? That's okay. And like the truth is I can sit with those. I can regulate through uncomfortable emotions. I can regulate through awkward emotions. So I don't need to hide. I don't need to control myself out of these uncomfortable situations. And I can just release and actually just be present and be authentic because I know that I can regulate through uncomfortable emotions. And I feel like that's kind of the same thing with sex and sexuality. And I think for me, first of all, I was choosing men that it was necessary for me to hide from because I was scared of them. But if I'm no longer choosing men that feel I have to hide from, that if I'm choosing men that can hold space for me and that are truly connected to God and that I feel safe with in every part of my being, I don't need to hide from them. And therefore, I don't need to hide from myself. And what am I scared of there? I'm scared of being seen and of being seen in my reality, which is uncomfortable a little bit. Like, I don't really know what my sexuality is outside of discomfort or pretending or neutrality, like feeling really like nothing. So I don't know what that really looks like, but I know that it will come up and it will have to purge before we get to the beautiful side. And even that is still beautiful, you know, even that middle part is still beautiful. And I feel like running from that, when you sit in the fact that like, wait, those things can come up. I'm okay with that. I'm not scared of awkward emotions or awkward situations or weird situations. Like, it's okay. Like, I can regulate through that and so can my partner. Like, I'm not afraid that they can't regulate through that. I know that they can. And so then what am I afraid of here? Nothing. So I can be raw and I can be authentic and I don't need to hide and I don't need to fake and I don't need to run from myself and run from the reality and of the present moment. I don't need to run from what's coming up here. And I think allowing everything to come up and choosing to be present with it and take it really lightly, I think will be very important to me. But I think there is a something, you know, as women, I think all women have faked orgasms or continually fake orgasms or whatever they do. And what that really means is you are not comfortable with the truth, right? You don't want to admit, you don't want that other person to see, because you know you're not orgasming. You don't want that other person to see that you are not orgasming. So, but like, why? You know, because then you have to deal with the fact that like, maybe you're not in a good relationship. Maybe that person can't see you. Maybe you're just not connected to yourself. You know, there's all these different things and these reasons in that we fake things. And for me, I think I've been seeing like how much women As a collective, we hide and we fake things because it's easier. We don't trust the masculine. We don't trust men to be able to hold our full, what's really going on with us. Like, we don't trust, and you see it, I mean, a lot of women, like, with their parents, I've seen, you know, my parents, like, not trust the man to hold her full spectrum of emotions, not trust the man to hold her presence, not trust a man to hold what's really happening inside of her. Because I think the reality is that most men can't hold that. So as women then, what do? Because we still want to relate relationships with men. So then we interact with them in these half-truths or these hidden ways, and we hide our true embodiment and our true expression because we feel that we have to. And I think that what we as a collective, as women, need to do is choose to no longer choose. I think what I said before, I wrote it down. If we choose to not hide any longer, we inevitably have to choose men who can meet us in our truth. So if we choose to not hide any longer, if we choose, like, I will never hide again, I will never fake anything again, whether that be sexually, emotionally, whatever, I'm going to be raw and I'm going to be open and I'm going to be authentic. What does that mean? It means you have to choose not only yourself, but you have to choose a partner who can hold that and who also is not hiding and who is authentic and connected to himself and to God. You have to do that if that's what you want for yourself. You have to choose someone who also can bring that to the table. You can't choose a man who, you know, can't hold you or denies you and isn't connected to truth, because then inevitably you will no longer be connected to truth if you're denying yourself to be with that person. And so if you relentlessly choose yourself and relentlessly choose to stay in truth, you have to then choose men who are good for you. And I feel like understanding that it's all a choice is really important for women, because I think that we just have lost so much. I heard my friend saying it the other day, like, well, I don't think I'm gonna even get married because, you know, I just, men, there's no good men, like, it's like there's no good men out here, and so I'm just gonna, like, date these guys because there's no good men, but I'm not gonna take them seriously. And it's like, if we choose that, that's what we're gonna get. That's the bottom line. If we choose that, then, and that's what we believe, then it's what we're going to get. But for me, I chose years ago that I knew my partner was out there, and I knew that if he wasn't, I would be alone for the rest of my life, and I was cool with that. I knew that I was not willing to accept anything less than what I knew, what the manifestation of God's love for me in a person. I knew that could happen for me. So I decided to clear anything out of my space that was not that, and to reject anything that wasn't that, and to step away from anything that wasn't that, because I knew what could come for me and I knew what was coming for me. And I was strong in that. And I feel like knowing that it's a choice, and that if you believe that no men are good and no men are able to hold you, and that you have to be in these toxic relationships or settle. If you believe you have to settle because there's nothing better, that's what you're going to do. You're going to settle. But if you are like, I will not settle for any reason ever, and I'll either be alone, but I don't need to be alone. I'll be alone until my partner comes, until the man that I don't need to settle for comes. I'll be alone until then, and I'm cool with that. And I'll, you know, be in joy in my own solitude. That is where you can call in everything, because you're coming from a space of faith. And I think even for myself, at a moment where I was at, like, a crossroads, I asked myself, what would I do if I knew that my man was coming for me? What would I do? You know, I would keep going in my own truth. I would stay strong in my own truth, and I would not allow anything less than him to be around me. And I was like, well, I know it. So moving in that. Like, I'm going to move in that. I'm not going to move. That is my truth. I know that's my truth. So I'm going to move in that truth because my man is coming for me. So I have to move in that truth because that's the truth of faith. And that's the only truth. And anything else where it's like, I don't know if he's out there. I don't know if he's coming. That's just fear. And it's just settling. And I became unwilling to go there ever again years ago. And I'm very grateful I did. So, yeah, I think that we just need to start choosing ourselves and stop hiding. And when we stop hiding, we have to face where we are. And what's scary about that? It might be uncomfortable, or it might be awkward, or it might be devastating, or it might be painful. You know, all of those things have come up for me, but what's wrong with that? You know what I mean? Because if you can regulate through that and you're cool with that, then that's okay. And I think that's where we need to get to. Like, yeah, I'm scared of these uncomfortable emotions, but that's why I'm trying to do all this and hiding and doing all this and not choosing myself. I'm scared of these things coming up. But the truth is I'm really not scared. I know I can regulate through it. I know it's okay. It's just emotions. It's just purging. It's okay. I'm not afraid of my emotions. I'm not afraid of things coming up. I actually welcome them. The truth is I'm excited about them. And that to me too, even I was going through something a few months ago and I was like, I'm unafraid of the pain here. I'm not hiding from any part of it. I'm great in complete surrender and in complete moving with such grace through this. And I'm unafraid of feeling the depths of this pain. I'm not afraid of it. And when I surrendered to that fully and felt it all fully with joy, I would be crying and tears would be coming on my face. I have a smile because it's like, I'm not afraid of the pain here. I will feel every part of it so deeply, and I'm so not afraid of it. And I feel like that, that's where if we can be unafraid of our own emotions and unafraid of uncomfortable things coming up and move through them with joy and with groundedness and with clarity, that's where we want to be. And that's all it takes really is a breath to get there, just a breath of grounding and reminding, and that's all. So I hope that this was helpful for you guys. and that's it. I will make more podcasts, guys. And I know that I haven't made one in a couple weeks, but I will be making them weekly, hopefully, and really just like whenever I feel, but like I really always have things to say. So yeah. But anyway, guys, hopefully you enjoyed and talk to you soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Turn holiday travel from stressful to rewarding. Rakuten helps you save big on travel. They give you cash back when you book with sites like Expedia, Best Western, and Hertz. Even better, you can stack cash back on top of other rewards, like airline miles, credit card points, and hotel loyalty programs. Rakuten partners with over 3,700 stores, including Away Luggage, Ray-Ban, and Macy's, so you can be prepared with all the travel essentials and, of course, cute fits for your trip. Keep the rewards going with cash back on holiday gifts for friends and family. With Rakuten, you'll never miss out on savings at your favorite stores. The stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Join for free and start your shopping at Rakuten.com or use the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.